This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Welcome to My Opinion Booth. My name is Sonia Booth, and today's guest. Why are you laughing?
It's weird because I actually didn't expect to find myself here, and yeah, here I am.
Why not?
I don't know. You'd call it modesty, but I'm too young for this.
I've never seen a man blush like that. I've never. Hilton Ramolefe Rakumakwe, welcome to Opinion Booth.
Thank you so much.
Founder and director of Bring Media ZA. I love your Twitter bio, Kaelo's super dad.
Yes.
That melts my heart. You know, when I see a young black man putting it out there on social media for the world to see that you are your daughter's super dad, it brings me so much joy. Because, you know, I always talk about a lot of the dads, you know, the trend out there is to do a slice at Tsotsi, right?
Exactly.
Which you know about. So your bio goes on to say graphics, print, Kosa Gama Club CGC.
Yes.
We're going to get back to that. And like I said, director at Brink Media ZA. What is Kosa Gama Club?
Well, I drive a Kosa Gama.
Aha.
Opel. So somehow immediately when I had one, I noticed that there were a whole lot of them that, you know, they're not so nice, but there's a whole lot of them that are coming up. So I thought to myself when I met some guy in the garage and he drives a utility one. And I was like, my guy, have you ever seen a Kosa Gama Club somewhere? Or is there one? Even on Facebook, I haven't seen one. He's like, nah, bruh. Hey, we never on those clubs and all things because VW has most of the clubs, you know? The Mark 1s have their own clubs and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, man, let's start something. He's Busiso, he's from Pretty Land. So we're starting something. In no time, I think in 2 months' time, it should be up and running, you know? So now we have a team of 20. We're still signing up. So, yeah, it would be a nice event type of situation there.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Now tell me, how is fatherhood treating you?
Oh, gosh, that's amazing. And amazing is a serious understatement. Because I remember, you know, the funny story is, before I had my daughter, Kaelo, I thought about it. Like, I really wanted to have a baby by then. And I had just come out of a relationship that I was like, oh, gosh, no more women, no more women. But I wanted a baby. It makes no sense. But I was like, okay, fine. For me to have a baby, I need to have a woman.
Something like that, yeah.
Exactly. You know? So I had to find someone that, in a way, shared same values, wanted to grow, and really, really wanted to build a life in a whole family-oriented type of situation.
Yeah.
And at the time, I literally almost had nothing, but I really wanted a baby.
Uh-huh.
My bank account was not so nice, but I wanted a baby, and I felt like God will provide. And I met Katleho, Kailo's mom, weirdly walking down the street. And nicest thing is, I've always known Katleho, went to the same high school. Went to the same high school, met her in standard 6. It was the standard at the time.
Now you're revealing your age. Because teens nowadays talk about grades. You're still talking standard or sub A, sub B.
And trust me, they still confuse us at some time. Like, standard 6 grade. Yeah, so standard 6 we met, and she was not my friend. I just saw her. We passed corridors because she was in another class. And when I saw her, it was amazing. I felt like, oh gosh, this is the act of God right here. I need to make a move, you know? And apparently she was dating somebody by then. And I had to ask her to leave that person for me.
Hmm.
So yeah, a huge...
This is like a drama series, actually.
It is.
It's like a soapy.
You know? And I don't know how, but she ended up agreeing and she left the guy, and
here there I was today,
you know, and I told her exactly what I wanted. And she was like, look, dude, if you're really, really serious, let's see.
Now tell me, do you see yourself as a strict, overprotective parent, or are you laid back?
I'm a little bit of both, you know, Katla would say I'm very strict because I just don't let anything slide. Like, nothing goes under my radar. Nothing goes undetected. Everything will be addressed, and it will be addressed like now. It's not like, no, I'll hold it and discuss it later. No. It has to be now. If you do something and I don't like it, I'll call you to the side like, okay, fine. 1, 2, 3, I am not happy about. So yeah, we need to sort that part out.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty strict, but I'm very happy. Like, I'm a very happy person. Like,
happy-go-lucky.
Yo, like, super happy. And when I'm excited, they say I joke a lot, but for me, it's me talking. And I'd see people laughing, and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm trying to be serious here. And everybody else is laughing, but I'm a very happy vibe, you know? I think, to put it mildly.
Now, let's get a little bit serious here.
Yes.
Kaelo is only 1 year old,
yes,
your daughter. But I bet you've wondered how she's going to turn out.
Oh, yes.
Worries about sugar daddies.
Ooh.
In less than a couple of decades.
True. I still kind of have sleepless nights about it. And you know how men would joke around and say, yo, your daughter is beautiful, you better get a gun. And I'm like, oh my God, I really hope it does not get to that, you know? And I think I want to teach her that she can be independent. I think I talk to her right now like an adult. I don't talk to her like a baby, because I feel like when they're this age, it's more when they grasp everything quicker, they understand things quicker. They don't want that goo-goo, gaga, nana, you know, all that
the
type of talk.
Teletubbies no. Talk, yeah.
They don't need that. They need to be told, Kaelo, go close the fridge. She will close the fridge.
Mm.
And that's the type of, you know, father-daddy interaction that we need to have with our babies. When they're one, they're not really, really, really babies, like, you need to baby them. They do understand, you know? And I think I want to take her on dates as much as I can and make her understand that people have to love you for who you are, and you don't have to do things for people to like you. You don't have to dress a certain way for people to love you. You have to love yourself, you know? And that's why I did something very weird. I did not pierce my daughter. Her ears are not pierced.
And why is that? I mean, the decision.
It's merely for her to make her own decisions in life.
Okay, I like that. It's refreshing.
True.
Because, I mean, we all try and do the norm. You know, it's like as soon as a girl turns a year old, or some people even at 3 months, they say, no, otherwise people are not going to recognize that it's a girl. And then you're like, I mean, really, there's more important things in life
exactly
out there. If people don't recognize that my daughter is a girl or that my child is a girl, then, I mean, in any case, it makes no difference, right?
It makes no difference.
So, I mean, the reason I asked you that question is because you are raising a daughter in a very challenging and difficult era, right?
True.
I mean, you've just spoken about people making reference about whether you've bought a gun yet for her, you know, to be waiting for that dodgy boy that's going to come looking, you know, looking for her.
Mm.
And I've alluded to sugar daddies as well. Sure. But I mean, boys as well are at risk. I mean, I'm a mother to two boys, and I worry a lot about all sorts of things. You know, pedophiles. I worry about, you know, dodgy teachers. I mean, you hear of polo teachers, you know, being sexually abusive to students and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, these are the things that we need to think about. Even though she's only a year old,
true,
I'm sure you cannot help but wonder, but also get not scared, but concerned
yes,
about, you know, the kind of friends that she's going to keep at school, the school that she's going to be going to. And I mean, talking about that, I only found out yesterday, just the other day actually, that there is grade 00 00. Did you know about that?
Yes, I saw it last week on Twitter.
00 00, yeah?
Yes.
That means your daughter will be starting her formal schooling in a couple of years.
True.
A couple of years, aged 3.
Mm-hmm.
Expect to pay up to 6,500 rands a month for her tuition. This is for a 3-year-old. 6,500 rands a month, excluding extramurals such as ballet or soccer. Have you saved up?
Whew, that's a big one. You know, once you believe that you've saved up, it's not enough. It's never enough. I've just spent a couple of thousands on printing equipment. And I don't want to call it my safety net, but I've always believed that, you know, when you invest in equipment and business, there really has to be an output. You know, that input definitely has to have an output of me having enough funds to probably put Kailo through all levels of school. If I want her to go to a model assist school, I'll be able to do that. And it's merely through business. And that's what I believe, you know. But at the moment, looking at it, yes, it's going to be very expensive. And I definitely don't have the money right now. So I live on faith. I live merely on who I run on fumes so many times that I don't even know how I'm going to pay my rent at some stages. And I don't know how I'm going to put gas in my car. I don't know how, what I'm going to eat tonight or tomorrow or when I'm going to get baby food for Kailo or clothing for that matter. But in that house, it's all about faith. We have faith a lot. And okay. I tell them a lot about it that, you know what? I don't have anything, but I will have something. It's
you're working towards something.
I'm working towards something.
You are so. Creating an empire after
you
all.
Know?
Yeah. So now, you know Nandi Madida, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the other day she tweeted, last year I bought my son some land as his first birthday gift. Wow. And have begun building a farm for him, which he will then hand down to his kids and so on and so on.
Oh, man.
Generational wealth is more important to me than material things that lose value.
True.
How inspiring is this?
Very inspiring. Very inspiring. And I wish it was as much as it's amazing. It's beautiful. I don't think there's a dad, or probably they are. I won't speak to everybody for everybody else, but I don't think there's a dad who has a fully functional brain that wants to bring a baby into this world and not really take care of them or see them prosper. It's problematic when you find such situations. I feel like when you have a baby, you really need to have a plan. And I'm saying that not because I probably had a plan to plan my baby and all that, but you need to have a plan of what's next. Am I really going to be having enough money? What do I plan for my baby? Do I want her to go to the best school? Will I even afford it? But this is the other thing. We cannot probably afford every luxury under the sun. But if you can afford your baby the love, and gosh, your baby can do everything by herself. Your baby can go to the Soweto school there, very small, no back, no playground, no nothing. But if you love your baby enough, you will tell them that every day and you'll play with them. They don't need a playground.
You'll spend time with
them.
You'll
spend so much time with them that they don't feel the void of probably even standing next to a Model C school girl and feel out of place.
Yeah.
You know, she will know her place in the world that, you know what, I'm growing to better things and my dad told me.
I like that. Not seek validation from outside of your home, you know?
None whatsoever.
And how would you like your daughter to remember you?
Whew. That's tough. Daddy doesn't sleep much. And I think that's the first thing that's going to say, that she will say, you know? Daddy doesn't sleep. Daddy works really hard. And the first thing that I do... that I do, like when she wakes up, she finds me smiling. And I think she'll remember that all the time, that my dad always smiles at me, you know? And now she does that to me, and it's a lot, you know? Because I feel like now she understands better that, okay, this is my dad, this is my mom, and that's that. Everybody else comes second. And she gives me the look that she says, that it's cool, I understand. Now you can go and go work. And come back tomorrow in the morning at 4 a.m. It's fine. You know? And I took a year off, almost off work, because I started working 9 to 5 hours so that I can spend more time with her. And back then, I would work 20 hours in a day.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd only sleep like 2-3 hours and then take a bath in the morning and then back to work.
My goodness. And I mean, the most important thing is for her to also remember that you're doing all of this for her.
True.
I'm going to play your other favorite song. I mean, the song that we started with was obviously one of your top five, and then now it's the other song, and we're going to talk after that. I just want to give you a breather for you to take a sip of that drink, yeah?
Thank you.
You are an old soul. The song was released in 1977. And you were born in 85. What's up with that?
Hey, this is a song that I came across when I was still working for a company. And mind you, I only worked for one company in my lifetime. Hilton Wayner. In Sandton.
Is it just because your name is Hilton?
I'm not sure if that's why they hired me, but I think it has something to do with that. I was hired by a guy called Casper Bosman. He's a very great designer, actually. He's a clothing designer. He's crazy on clothing. And he's the guy that hired me. And most of the songs that used to be played in Hilton Wayner were, you know, mellow, and you had to have a nice feel. It's like a homey. You know, when you're at home and you're lounging, okay, you have your coffee,
yes,
while people bring you clothes.
Yeah.
And it was that type of feeling. And then this song once played, and it was on a disc called Café de la Mar. And I kept on nagging Casper, like, Casper, please, I need that disc. And trust me, he gave me one.
Okay.
He gave one to me, and the Michael Frank song is the one that I played almost every time. I have it on all my phones, all my PCs, my laptops, and it's just one of those songs.
Okay, all right. Now, tell me more about Brink Media ZA. What do you do? What is it all about?
Okay, Brink Media is, I call it a design and print house, but with a bit of a local flavor.
Okay.
Even though the name is not too centralized to be a local brand. It's meant to be bigger than locally, but I want it as a baby and for it to grow from a local market, which is mostly Soweto. And Brink Media came from me printing t-shirts for myself and selling them.
Yeah.
And I felt, I actually saw a gap that not too many people find best printing houses, especially around Soweto. We all had to take a taxi to town, and it was taxing. You know, it was strenuous. For me, it was like too much. I think I can just do this right here at home. And one machine saw me having a big back room full of machines. And yeah, we do a lot of design. We have very good clients under our wing. Your Zano Evans, UK Medical Centers. It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. Your Sonia Booth. you know, and we do book covers, we do graphic work for companies, small companies a lot. I sponsor a lot of graphic stuff to small companies because I feel everybody needs branding.
Yeah.
And you know, when you say you really want to do something good with your company and you're really serious about it, you need to get it branded.
Mm.
And I know people don't have money to brand because it's ridiculously priced everywhere else. And that's why I think I do a lot of, look, you have a company, come see me. Let's sit down and see what we can come up with. And I'd love to see all of the companies in Soweto branded, even if it's on the corner.
Absolutely.
Side of the street, it needs to be branded somehow, you know. And that's where we're going. We're trying to get into the stage where we can do large format printing for small companies in Soweto and see your nice brand in vinyl just outside, you know. And yeah, that's what we do.
Because it's a big market. I mean, Soweto has a population of what, 4.5 million?
Yes.
I stand to be corrected.
Around there.
That's a huge gap right there, which a lot of people have been sleeping on for many, many years.
You know, and it's painful that you'd find that only, they'd say, it's only the Richard Maponyas that will be able to do it. It's only, you know, the Richard Branson has to come all the way from, you know, overseas to come and do it here in South Africa. Whereas we are here, we have the skills, we have the resources. If you really need to learn something, you don't really need to go to school anymore. There is YouTube. There is, I mean, I learned my skill via YouTube. I used to draw with a pencil until I found that there are design tools that you can use to make your things look digital. Mm. And I moved from pencil to digital all and like it was just through YouTube, you know, YouTube tutorials, YouTube videos, and that's how I learned, you know. So it's mostly an excuse that Soweto is not making, because it has a whole lot of money in it, and we need to really, really try to create some sort of traffic, and not just in Maponya Mall, every location, every suburb, small suburb in Soweto has to have some sort of business traffic, and we are the only ones to create it. The youth in Soweto needs to create that. You know, people from Rivonia, people from Sandton need to drive from Sandton to Soweto to look for something.
Mm.
It's about the time.
Your company, I mean, most of your stuff, if not all of them, they still fall under the youth bracket. There,
yes.
It's a young, vibrant company. Not young as an age, but yeah, most of you under the age of 35, which is very refreshing, because when you look at the stats regarding unemployment rates, most of them are actually the youth bracket, falling in that category of between 18 and 35. We're going to talk more on that. But what's interesting for me is that you founded your company on the eve of Youth Day.
Yes.
Was that deliberate, or was it just coincidence?
It was, you know, it was merely coincidence. And I actually noticed after, because I always celebrate Youth Day. I always do. And the 15th of June is actually, the funniest thing is, it's also the day that it was registered.
Okay.
I started it 15th June 2 years prior to me registering it, and it was registered on the 15th, making 15th June some big business to me, because it has a lot of significance now because of the whole youth month, the way I drive the whole youth thing, that youth has to really step up. And I'm merely just, I feel like I'm just here to actually show people that this can be done.
And why not a young person?
Why not?
Exactly.
You know, and it can be done, even though this is the saddest thing, again, about being a youth in Soweto with parents that really, really don't know that a child really can be an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Purely. They don't need to, like, go to university. And it's amazing that I want to go to university still. I want to get an MBA, you know. But I feel like if we give children or the youth the possibility that, okay, fine, you can start your own business, understand that you can have everything that you need, and you can employ people, you can create wealth, not go and seek wealth elsewhere, you know. And that's mostly where we find a lot of youth sitting on corners, because in a way they're disgruntled. They don't know that they can do it. They don't have that backup support, even though I did not have it, really, to be honest. I just woke up and told myself that I'm going to do this. You know, even when nobody believed me, including my family, they're like, oh gosh.
There he goes again with another business idea.
Black sheep of the family, he's back at it.
What
you
is
know?
He up to now? Yeah.
What is he up to now? But I think right now they look at me and like,
proud okay. of you.
I believe they are.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about generational wealth. I mean, that's the order of the day. Those conversations we're talking about, and we're going to continue talking about for a long time, because now we're talking land expropriation without compensation, right? So you cannot exclude the two.
Mm.
or you cannot talk about one without talking about the other, right? Because there's many reasons why people are pushing for this. I don't even know what to call it. It's not a movement. I'm lost for the right word right now. But what does generational wealth mean to you? And why is creating an empire important for you as an entrepreneur and more importantly as a father?
You know, this is the simplest way I think I can put it. When you have family members that when you look at and all you see is people working for someone, it doesn't feel so good. Because in a way, you feel like this is not wealth. You can be happy, yes, but this is not wealth. If I'm getting 20K per month, I won't be wealthy from that. I will never be. And what's going to stop me from pushing myself to make, let's say, 100K a month by myself, putting something in the market and then showing it to my grandkids, to my family members, to my cousins, that look, guys, we can do this and grow as a family and grow it definitely other families, because it's really not about one family getting rich and others struggling, them looking at you for work, but it's about spreading that information and making sure that every black child knows about this. Every black child knows that it's possible to make money without you having to go for anybody else. And it's so important that wealth is, you know, it. When we say wealth, people look at it as like it's something that's very far. When you retire and you have your,
you have to be 60.
And you have to be staying somewhere else. But I mean, you can stay at an estate when you're like 20.
True.
You know, because you really, really work hard.
Why not?
You know, without even having to work for somebody else, because you started something that was small and it grew and you have a market for it, you understood what you were doing. That's how I look at it mostly, that we are young, we have the resources, we have the know-how. The only problem is we just don't want to unite and everyone wants to do their own thing. Nothing wrong with that, but with manpower comes a whole lot of, you know, this shift. You know, because when you're alone, you can't do everything, you know.
You know, there are 71 million unemployed youth worldwide. 71 million, yeah? Painful. Many have business ideas, but have no clue how or where to start. What would you say is the first step?
Look, the first step would be really being sure about you go into business, because this is something that you just won't walk into, because you have to find something that's fun for you, that you really understand. I was drawing. I did a t-shirt from a drawing and I felt like, okay, fine, this is what I like. I really liked it. And I spent a whole lot of time doing that, because just after losing my job, I had nothing to do and I just did not want to stay at home and do nothing. That's when I found that, I mean, when I was growing up, I used to draw and I can do this. I had fun. So try something that you have fun with, something that's passionate with. When you're at home, if you love cooking or you love looking at your mom cook or your dad cook, why don't you start something? Why don't you sell food, for instance, you know, and not just, let's say, the quarter. Like, move out of that, you know, that threshold of food. You know, move into something like patties, something that's, you know, out of the ordinary, out of the norm for a person who is in Soweto, for instance, or in Khayelitsha, you know, all those suburbs. See, move out of the status quo, you know, like, okay, that's how things are done. Most of it, what works mostly is the quota, your spatulas, do something different. Let's find innovative ways to, you know, open up the market and make it bigger than it is. We need, right now, we don't even have a radio station in Soweto, apart from your Josie FM, which is, for me, it's mainstream right now. It's big. They worked very hard. But that's like the only one that we can pinpoint down in Soweto. And why is that?
Okay, good point. I mean, you mentioned something very important when you started answering this question, and I think in a nutshell, you're saying why not get paid to do something you love? Because for you, you started off by printing T-shirts, and you started off by drawing. Graphic designing was your passion, but you just took pencil to paper, and then you went to the printers and put it on a T-shirt, and you were selling. You started off selling T-shirts from the boot of your car, and look, now you have created an empire.
Look,
But more importantly is starting, right?
Starting,
the first step is to start.
Car wash, get a cloth, get a bucket, go to the street.
That's all you need to wash a car, you know? And soap.
And when someone says, I don't have money to start a business, I don't take that. I don't listen to that.
I think often it's excuses.
It's a whole lot of them.
And then tell me your tips for that elevator pitch and raising capital.
Whew. Ooh, that's a spot.
Because an elevator pitch, you know, is important,
it
right?
It is very important.
You meet a potential investor that you just bump into. You need to have your story together.
True that. And you know, it's not as easy as... Because we do know our story. We do know exactly what we want to do. We do know how we want to expand. We do know exactly what we need to, you know, grow the company to bigger heights. And as much as there are some struggles, mostly it's on paperwork, and mostly it's on, you know, the background, making sure that the company runs itself and there's no expenses that are incurred outside that are affecting the business. All of that, it's what we are trying to learn. And I guess when you go on the path of pitching an idea, or maybe pitching for funding, you need to have, oh gosh, you need to have all those facts. You need to have the numbers. You need to have your accounts in order. At least try to keep them in order, keep record, and, you know, make sure things work out. Because at the moment, I don't think my business is where it should be. And merely because I think it's my fault. Actually, it's my fault. And I think that's one thing that I'm trying to work on, you know. And before, I wanted to pitch for 50,000 on a show on SABC. But then I pulled back. I was like, I'm not going to do this because I am not ready for that.
Okay. You are honest enough with
yourself.
You need
to be honest with yourself, because it almost looks as if you want something that you're not ready for.
Okay.
And it's you putting out a lie to the world that you need something that you don't really, really need, or you don't really, really understand. So I think I have to wait for the right time to do something. Immediately when I feel like, okay, fine, I understand this fully, because I am still learning my business. I am still learning my business. Like, every day there's something new. And I think that's why I stayed in it, because I prefer to learn things on a daily than do nothing.
And tell me about the process of for such things as hiring staff. You need to talk about the benefits of incubators, mm-hmm. Internships, job shadowing, industry related workshops and seminars. How important was that for you in setting up your business and putting your name out there?
You know, those are the best places for you to network and to walk amongst people that are in the business. They may not be in your same type of business or industry, but those people have one or two things that you can relate to as a small business. I remember going to a couple of seminars that... And the funny thing is, before I get into that, the funny thing is, I was not the guy that would believe in seminars. I didn't believe in... I feel like it was just a ploy just to get people around and pay money and so I can stay on stage and just say stuff. But I grew a lot from seminars. I got plenty of clients from seminars. I did book designs for people in the Rustenburg that came to a seminar in Joburg. These are one of the most important things. You can do it online. You can really check out... I mean, oh gosh, there's tons and tons of networks for you to go into or even search online and find that there's a, even in Soweto, there's SMME hubs that we didn't even know about. And I'm growing in Soweto, and there's a, I pass it every day, and there's an SMME hub just around the corner. You don't know about funding. We don't know about, you know, the help that's out there for us, you know, as small business. And it's painful to some degree.
Tell me about the challenges, obstacles, or, you know, some people call them hiccups, speed bumps that you've faced, and the lessons you've learned from that as an entrepreneur.
Whew. There's a whole lot. Speed bumps, mostly, you know, financial control is important. And you don't want to find yourself having a client and you cannot serve them because you are not equipped. You find a client that wants something that you say you advertised and you said you can do. And when the client pays you, you can't deliver, you know? And it's one of those mistakes when you're young, you're trying to start a business that you make. And this is the nicest thing about it, that you can always recover from that. If you really, really talk to your client and say, okay, this is what I'm doing, this is how much I can do, just look at my work and try to give them the best. Because somebody said something last week. He said, it's not really about the environment the work came out of, but it's the work itself.
Mm.
It's the product.
Yeah.
The product can come out of the most dirtiest place, but if that product is clean, you know, the client becomes very happy. You know, they can come to your studio and find it, oh, papers everywhere, it's a mess. But, you know, you grow from that. You grow from that. And these are the type of hiccups that we find as small business, that some clients will walk in and look at your space and like, probably they won't be able to do what I want. You know, and you still have to sell your client, your business, and tell them, look, this space is just merely where I work from, but this
you,
is
you just
where
worry
you
about
get,
the product. Don't worry about the fact about the that product. My offices are in Soweto.
You know,
yeah.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about your packing. Your car is safe, you know?
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything else, you know? So it's, I think what I've learned, that you need to really, really never stop selling. You sell even when you feel like you've made it. I don't feel like I made it though. And I feel like there's still a very long way. And a lot of people are building this company with me. A whole lot. My community is building this company with me. People that I don't know that pay me to do work for them, they're building this company with me. And it's not only for me. It's for my community and the people around me.
I love that. Tell me, what is the best piece of advice you've received from a mentor?
Whew. Never stop working. Never stop working.
Keep hustling.
Keep on hustling. And I'm not too much of a fan of the hustle way.
Hey, each to their own. Use whatever word that you want to use.
You know, I've really been against the whole hustling word.
Is it too gangsterish for you?
Not necessarily, but I feel like it's overused.
Okay.
And it's, hustle is, you know, when you want something and you have to find ways to make sure that you get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
It can be from someone.
Okay.
It's like you hustle that person until they give up or they give in and they give you what you want.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it.
Maybe
if you want it badly enough, you'll
knock all
you'll
those
do
doors,
a
you'll knock
lot
them down
to ensure that it comes together. Anyway, you use whatever word that makes you happy.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah.
So, working hard, like never sleep, and you know it's funny because when someone says don't sleep, they don't literally mean that you mustn't sleep, as in like stay up until, because you can do your work between the times that mostly we call them 9 to 5s or 9 till 7, and then go back to your family. You don't really have to work from 9 until tomorrow in 4 a.m. It's painful. It's really painful, and it tires you out. And you need to be strong, like, throughout. And if you burn out now, we need you in the future and you're not here because you burned yourself out building a business. Try not to burn yourself out. Work hard, yes. Get as much information as you can, but don't burn yourself out. You know, because I almost did that. I almost had a breakdown because of trying to do something and it was not coming together. I stayed up nights trying to make sure that I finished that project, but it was not coming up, you know? No ideas, nothing. A mental block. I felt like I was going crazy.
I think the word you're looking for is woke. You know, the latest term now that we use often is, you know, staying. You get people saying stay woke.
Yes.
You know, keep abreast of the latest trends. Be ahead of the competition when it comes to innovation, mm-hmm. and other ways that can make you stand out from the pack.
From the rest.
Right?
True.
So now, fear of failure has prevented many potential entrepreneurs from venturing into business. What advice would you give a youngster regarding that?
Ooh, procrastination, man. Never procrastinate. Never take too much time to execute a plan. I started writing things down when I was still in high school. And funny enough, 10, 12 years later, I stumbled across a box full of papers. And I was supposed to throw them out, but I started looking through those papers. And I found a whole lot of things that I wrote when I was still young that I really, really wanted to have a business. And I don't know why. I really wanted to create my own wealth. I don't know why. But, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't know about me, that I don't come from an amazing background. I grew up in a... My mom and dad, my family was loving, but we had a whole lot of problems. We had a whole lot of troubles, but that did not stop me, you know? And I don't want the youth today to make the same mistake as saying that my family did not support me. Your family does not have to support you, unfortunately. They don't have to be there for you. If you are 16, you're an adult. Make your own decision. Wake up today and say, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm clean. That's step one. I'm going to make sure that I bath in the morning, I brush my teeth, and when I step out the door, I'm a real person. And I treat people with respect. That's where you start.
And I'm ready for any opportunity.
And I am ready for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then tell me, was there ever a time where you felt like giving up, where you felt, oh, whatever I started, I'm in it. Do I have the guts to see through this empire that I'm wanting to build? Or was that, what was giving up not in your vocabulary?
Not even one bit. And I asked myself this question, I think a couple of days ago, that did you even ever think of giving up? And why haven't you? And why didn't you, when the chips were down, like everything was against me, I still didn't give up. I still fought my way through. I always believed. You know, faith is everything. Faith is everything. If you don't have it, it's almost like you're running blind, you know? And I never, not even once, even when I was on minus 45 rand in my investment account and my savings account had 10 rand, I didn't give up. I did not give up. I was like, okay, stumbling block, let's go.
Let's move on.
Let's move, you know? And that's mostly what youth needs to understand. Not everything will come today.
It's not manna from heaven.
It probably won't even come tomorrow.
Mm.
But keep on pushing.
Okay. I'm going to read out a few tweets because I want your opinion on them. The first one is from Vusi Tembegwayo. Mm-hmm. He tweeted, can we talk about the way black employees treat black entrepreneurs? Can we talk about the way black customers treat black businesses?
Ooh, and this is tough. Small business. Okay, let me start with the employees thing. Because I was once in retail and I have first-hand experience with a black customer treating me like I meant nothing. All I was there to do was to serve them. And to serve them, I had no opinion whatsoever. And yet, you came into my space. I may be employed there, but that's my space. And you come there and treat me like I'm nothing. Whereas, you treat every person out of my color, out of our color, with utmost respect. And it's, you know, you look at them like, okay, I'm not to say that you have to treat me good because I'm one of you. You're one of my, no. Treat people with respect, regardless of their color, regardless of anything else. And when it comes to small business, this is what happens. Small business, me, big business out there, it's not, there's a line that we are not meeting at. We fight a lot because big business takes time to pay small business. It has its own way of doing things. And most probably, maybe small business needs to understand some of the things that happen in big business. But I feel like big business does not really, really look at small business as competition, or maybe as, again, the way we set ourselves up. But we need to move into that, the sphere of making big business feel like they need us, you know?
To take us seriously.
Like, they really, really need to make sure that they pay on time and they don't have excuses. No, like, no, we'll put it next month, like 30 days. But they pay every big company with them the same day. It's like almost a bit of a disrespect there.
Okay, I hear you. So now tell me, if you were Minister of Small Business Development, what would your priorities be?
Ooh. A lot of mentorships, seminars in townships, in schools. And this is the most important part. Primary schools, you find kids that when she's in grade 3, she can't read yet. It's so painful because these are the kids that have to be, you know, you have to start there. You have to start making them understand that you can have anything, you can be big, you can have your own business, you can. And you know, in Setswana, they say, which is everything that you do, you have to do from grassroots level.
Yeah.
You know? And we need something like that. An activation that will really, really help the kids from primary school level until, and it must not just stop primary level. It must go throughout. Every syllabus has to have a business course of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it will clear out the whole thing of I am out of university, I have a PhD, and I can't find work.
Exactly. You're sitting at home with a PhD, and there's plenty of people who do
that. We really can't be having something like that.
Yeah.
It's too much, you know?
Ramolefe, Hilton, Rakumakwe. Thank you for spending the hour with me.
Oh my God, it went on so quick. I know, quick.
Very quick. My humble opinion, after all, this is the opinion booth. There are many ways to create generational wealth. One way is by creating sustainable businesses and empires. You are a fool if you are waiting for the government and handouts. Most successful entrepreneurs and business people persevered despite the odds stacked up against them. Do your research, find a mentor, and learn from those who have walked the path. Aspire to inspire before you expire.
This is CliffCentral.com.